One, two, buckle my shoe. One, two.
It's there, I think.
Sorry?
I think it's there. Just pull it a bit closer.
Oh, okay. One, two. Not very loud. Can you hear me?
Yep.
You can hear me. Good morning. I'm here, counting to myself, counting one, two, one, two, one, two. Okay, good morning. Ooh, that's a bit different. Well done for coming out in the heat. It's going to be a warm day, but not over the top, as far as I know. So welcome to our service this morning. I just mentioned at the beginning, I put a few more songs on the list this morning than we might normally have, but what is normal? So I'm not going to invite anyone to stand, if you're able to, at any particular point. Be comfortable in worship, and we don't have to stand to worship. We can sit, we can kneel, we can lie down. We can worship with our heads on our pillows in our beds. If there's space, you'd be welcome to stretch out on the floor. So follow your heart, follow your inclination. Years back, I was in a Pentecostal worship service, and it was a beautiful service. It really was. Lots of singing, people with their hands raised to the Lord. And at one stage during the singing, I found myself with my hands in my pockets, not as a protest to hands being lifted, but it was the most comfortable thing I'd felt in a worship service. It was really quite strange. Let me read some of Psalm 27 for us this morning. Lord, you are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Lord, you are the stronghold of our lives. Of whom shall we be afraid? One thing we ask of you, Lord, this is what we seek, that we may dwell in your house all the days of our lives, to gaze on your beauty, Lord, and to seek you in your temple. And that temple, just by the way, is us. Lord, you keep us safe in your dwelling. You hide us in the shelter of your sacred tent and set us high upon a rock. From within your sacred tent, we sacrifice with shouts of joy. We sing and make music to you, Lord. From within our sacred tent, we sing and make music. So join us as we sing. and worship the Holy God.
Come and behold.
Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the Holy God.
Praise the Lord.
accepted. You're a good and gracious King.
God, we praise you and thank you for your love and for your graciousness, for your mercy, for the peace that is ours in and through Jesus, the hope that is ours. Lord, we give you honor and glory this morning as we sing and as we worship, as we pray, as we listen to the scriptures being read. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us and the reality of being held by you in all of life's circumstances. And for all these things, Lord, we give you praise and thanks and glory. Amen.
Victory, darkness defeat.
Say amen to that.
Can we sit down now?
No, you can't. Good morning again. I've lost the page. It's all right. I have some notices for us. I just need to find a bit of music that's filed itself away in this pile of stuff I've put. No, that's not it. It's one of those mysteries.
Who chose all these songs?
Let me do the notices and I'll find the bit of music I need in a minute. Firstly, this Tuesday, January 14th, a circle of friends will commence meeting again for the year from 1:30 to 3 here at the church. For any women who would like to come and share a cuppa and have a chat. 1:30 this Tuesday. A reminder for next Sunday, January 19th, Vanessa Kirsting will be blessing us with her music. It's going to be a cafe-style service, so bring something to nibble on, to stick on the table, and tea and coffee will be available as you come in on Sunday morning. And we'll need some help after this morning's service to set up the tables and chairs for cafe style. So if you're able to help out with that this morning, that would be fantastic, because nothing's happening across the week at the moment. The next Friday Friends, the first one for the year, is on the 31st of January. Can you believe we're heading towards the end of January already? Thanks to Karen and Ian Kitto, there's some tea and coffee after this morning service. Thank you, guys. Welcome to Trevor. Good to see you. And finally...
Most important.
And finally, and most importantly, it's Malcolm's and Judy's wedding anniversary today. Number six. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say it or not, but it's number 62. And it's also Malcolm's birthday today. So fancy getting married on your birthday.
So just saying, next Sunday it could be somebody might bake a cake because it's cafe style, and then blow the candles out and sing with Vanessa. Could be an amazing service.
It could, yeah. We'll sing happy birthday to Malcolm next week, maybe.
I'll sing it right now. Happy birthday to Malcolm. That's good.
Joy of heaven to earth come down. Let me find you in the desert till this sand is holy ground and I am found completely surrendered to you, my Lord and friend. So let me say how much
Dear God, our Lord and friend, we bring our offerings, expressions of friendship, love, hope, faith, sharing, that they may be blessed, multiplied, and used to serve the people of God, the people in need, the people who need food, a smile, a touch. Lord, receive our gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just a small sidestep in the order of service this morning. I forgot to put the intercessions where I had planned to put them. That's okay. They're going to be here now. Thank you, Marge.
I thought you'd forgotten about me.
Never.
But he hadn't. Good morning, everybody. Many years ago, I heard a preacher suggest that we should come to prayer with a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other, and Malcolm reminded us of that last week. We did not get the newspaper, but the TV very graphically makes us aware of the storms and turmoils of our world. In these last couple of weeks, destructive earthquakes, devastating floods, and unbelievable wildfire. 13,000 homes, blackened rubbish. Can you imagine? Just, it's beyond my imagination. And these are alongside questionable politics, ongoing wars, plight of the homeless, young people running amok, etc., etc., and the list is very long. But in the middle of all this are the snippets that show people stepping up, getting involved, offering aid, and caring for those who are unable to even think straight at this time. And I hear the voice of Jesus say, as often as you have done it for one of these, you have done it for me. Well done, good and faithful servant. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be part of the solution. And I was just reflecting on these things as I sat down to put together my prayer, and I was led to a book on the bookshelves called Psalms Now, written by Leslie Brandt some many years ago now, in which he captures the meaning of the Psalms for our time. So I invite you to join with me this morning as we pray Psalm 72, and then I invite you to go home and read what that says in your scriptures. Let's pray. O God of love, grant to your children, your servants, the grace to represent you effectively in our discordant world. Give us the courage to put our lives on the line in communicating life and truth to all your creatures, wherever they may be found. Where there is injustice, may we diagnose the cause and discover its cure. Where there is bigotry, teach us how to love and how to encourage others to love. Where there is poverty, help us to share the wealth that has come from your hand. Where there is war and violence, may we be peacemakers that lead others to your eternal peace. Help us, O God, to become what you have destined and empowered us to become. Where there is darkness, may we become the rays of your sun that banish the gloom of lonely lives. Where there is drought, let us be like fresh showers that turn barren deserts into green meadows. Where there is ugliness and distortion, help us to portray the beauty and order of your will and purposes. Great God, you are in our world. Your majesty is reflected in your creation about us. But there are multitudes who do not feel your concern or acknowledge your love. Is it because your servants have failed to carry out your command and commission that we have yet to sense the significance of our salvation and the purpose of our mission? Forbid, O God, that we be deaf to the cries of the poor and indifferent to those who have needs. May we identify with those who are oppressed and help to bear the burdens of those who suffer among us. May we hear your voice of concern and feel your loving touch as your servants who are in this world. Manifest you to everyone we touch. The glory is yours, O God, and we shall praise your name and celebrate your cause together. May it be so for us in these times that we would be outwardly focused. Gracious God, you call us to love totally, unconditionally, without bias or favour. You are the one who gives hope even in the midst of the most difficult of situations. You give us the courage to look ahead, to see beyond what is, and to trust you for the journey. And we are grateful. We thank you that there are many people who indeed do share your love as they give of themselves to care for the lost, broken and homeless, and bring just a little sunshine to their lives in our city, our country, and our world. Caring, healing God, we pray for ourselves and those whom we love who are struggling at this time. Illness, facing surgery, facing uncertain times, struggling physically, mentally, or emotionally, may your gentle hand be upon all who find life challenging at this time. This has been a lovely service this morning, but maybe it has opened some sadnesses for you. In this next few moments, you may like to pray aloud for something that is sitting heavily on your heart, or express gratitude for what God has already done for you. This may just be a help for someone else in our community. Lord, hear our prayers. And gracious God, we pray that as we enter this new year of ministry in this place, we will hear your voice and listen. As we seek a permanent minister, as we develop our emergency relief program, as we open our hearts and doors to those in our community who are struggling with life, please bless each aspect of our ministry as we seek to reflect your love in a powerful way. For the work of Christmas now begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. God's marvellous plan for the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already briefly written. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So when we're seeing these things overseas, and then we look at
Australian life, and sorry, I should also say, even when you compare 1960, I'm sure we're all familiar with the saying, God moves in mysterious ways. Can you really say that this is I had chosen this Ephesians passage. Earlier in the month. In fact, I'd chosen it before Christmas. And much to people like Adrian, I swapped a couple of Sundays around. But he survived. And last week, you'll remember that I talked a lot about leadership, visionaries. And I mentioned a number of visionary people over throughout history, and almost exclusively that list was of males. So that raises, and it has raised with some of you, questions about what the Bible is saying regarding women and what we are doing as Christians about women, and how seriously we are taking the role of women in society.
Sorry, but just to preempt something, not even the fundamental
We say almost flippantly, don't we? Oh, it's a male-dominated world. I guess, well, I hope, that for those of us within the Christian community, we don't say that flippantly anymore. Although we may confess that it's an issue that we have to deal with. The Old Testament doesn't seem to give a lot of credibility to women. But the Old Testament is a record of a tribal group trying to work through its beliefs and its practices. The Old Testament doesn't even say that God is love. Hosea comes very, very close, but that's all. But in Christ, the change is dramatic. I remember preaching some years ago, and the congregation had said, look, can we do things differently one Sunday? We'll turn the church around and sit in a different direction, and you can preach, and then we'll respond to what you say, and we'll have a discussion. So we did. And it all went very well until a certain member of the congregation, whose name was Robert, stood up and said, Malcolm, I found what you said this morning very helpful, but at one point you were wrong. You did not say that God is male. If you listen to the minefield, you know what some of those words are. Impactful. Neither of us ever resolved that. Tragically. Tragically. That could not be resolved. And so I started doing research again, not for visionary leaders, but for the way we treat women in the world. About 125 to 130 women are murdered by an intimate partner in Australia each year. It's about 2.5 deaths a week. That statistic's a bit awkward, I know. So how do we get from this idea in Ephesians of an expansive and exclusive, inclusive love, to this? In the USA, that murder figure is 5,000 per year. In India, it's astronomical. And Mahendra Modi has said, every time another woman is raped or murdered, we should hang our heads in shame. Damaging property, whether it be through public declarations that are inimical to... In 2020, 47,000 women and girls were murdered across the world. That's almost as hard to manage as all the houses that have been burnt in California, isn't it? Harder, because you can rebuild homes, you can't restore battered and ruined bodies. When Judy and I were in Tanzania with our son Paul and a group of his young adults from a church in Hong Kong where he was pastor, a bishop came to me one day and said, Baba, I want you to talk to my pastors and elders. And I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, I want you to talk to them about the culture, the African culture of men beating their wives. My pastors and elders beat their wives. And I didn't say to him, thank you very much, but I wanted to. And there was a kind of dualism that Christians had in Tanzania, and I guess it's still there. One was about Christianity and witchcraft, and he would say, yes, I've got ministers who still practice witchcraft. And I said, how do they do that? And he said, well, they say we know witchcraft works and we know Christianity works, so isn't it better to stand on 2 feet rather than just one? Follow the logic. Someone is your friend. Follow the logic. But he said, another tradition is that husbands beat their wives. He said, I had a young minister's wife come to me recently and say, Bishop, I don't believe my husband loves me. We've only been married a short time. And the bishop said, why? And she said, he hasn't beaten me yet. We laugh, but it's not funny. It's tragic. And we went into a Christian school where teachers were carrying sticks and hitting kids across the shoulders and over the head. Because, as one pastor stood up and said to me, Baba, what you say sounds good, but what about spare the rod and spoil the child? So I said to him, do you know Psalm 23? And he said, yes, I do. He was a very self-assured young man. I said, do you know Psalm 23? Yes, I do. What's the role of the rod in Psalm 23? And he didn't say a word. And I said to others, what do you see the role of the rod in Psalm 23? Someone here can tell me, can't you? Comfort, sustain, support, encourage, be with, love, absolutely. And that young pastor sat down and I saw him shake his head. This was a step too far for him at that stage. A step too far. And then the bishop said to me, Baba, I think you and Elisante need to go outside and have a little rest. In other words, I need to get rid of you so I can talk to these guys myself. And outside, Elisante, who was my translator, because I couldn't speak Swahili, Elisante and I could hear the heated conversation in the church. And then Bishop Andrew came out and said, Baba, Elisante, come, we're ready for you. And we tried to jump the next hurdle. And we did that for 3 hours solid. And we talked about an all-encompassing love. As Paul is saying, we have come to share an all-encompassing love with all people, even the Gentiles, even the people that you despise. And the people that you have grown up being taught that they should be despised. And there are people in the world still today who despise women. And some people say Paul was one of those. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We forget that bit. All we remember is Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves you and gave himself up for you. Are you prepared, husbands, to die for your wife?
Think about community groups, neighborhoods, so on. Because they have time to develop.
Are you prepared to give up absolutely everything for your wife? Now, I know Judy and I have been married 62 years, and I know there are times when she would have loved to have killed me, but that's a different issue altogether. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. We get intense in destructive ways. Husbands, love your wives as you love your own bodies. Give yourself absolutely and completely without question to your wife. I got the strangest birthday card this morning at breakfast that I've ever had. It was a lady's birthday card. And Judy and I tear our hair out trying to find the right kind of birthday card. And she said, well, this has got beautiful words in it, the kind of words I wanted to say, but it's got flowers and roses all over it. And she said, but you love flowers and roses, don't you? Yes. So that's my birthday card. Because Judy chose the verses and said, well, he loves roses and he loves flowers, so it's his. And Paul, remember Paul saying women have got to be silent in church? I have a cousin whose wife is a very good public speaker, and she's been a great church leader, and they moved interstate and went to a different denomination from the one that they'd gone to in South Australia. And at one stage she wanted to share something and she was asked to come forward and share. So she came to the lectern, which was the territory of the minister, and gave her announcement, her sharing. And after worship, she was told by said minister that she had sinned and been an affront to him and to the Word of God, and did not have permission to speak publicly in that church ever again. So she went and spoke publicly in another church. Paul did not say women cannot speak in any church ever, ever again. This was a cultural issue. A new movement called Christians, who faced enough challenges as it was, in cultures, Greek and Roman cultures in particular, where a woman speaking publicly was deemed a prostitute. She was shaming her husband, she was shaming her family, she was shaming all of those around. This was a disgusting thing for a woman to do, to speak in public. And Paul said, I don't let women speak in public at the moment. We are still struggling with that. As most of you know, my sister was a minister as well. And I've had people ask me, when Margaret was early in her ministry, how do you feel about having your sister in ministry? As if they expected me to say, oh, well, I put up with it. After all, she is a woman. What a heap of rot. I can remember sitting at pubs out bush in the Northern Territory talking to men. And they would talk about their wives and their partners. And it was not unusual for a man to say, you know, every good woman needs a touch-up now and again. Now, you know what touch-up means, don't you? And I don't know whether you have ever been confronted with the situation of being with a woman who's been beaten up. It's a sickening experience, I can tell you. It is absolutely sickening. And men still make jokes about that. And I still get upset about it. God's expansive and inclusive love crosses barriers. It challenges attitudes. It sees past abilities and disabilities. Many years ago, I visited a man who lived in a wheelchair. He dived into a pool that was about 4 feet shallower than he expected it to be. And when I visited, he was angry, so angry. And he said, "I am a person. I am not a disability." And he was pleading to be loved as a man, to be loved as a human being, to be loved as a Christian. And his disability, brought on by his foolishness, had nothing to do with his entitlement to love. Nothing whatsoever. God's expansive and inclusive love has values which are totally different from ours. Totally different. And in the church, we teach love. But I am not convinced that the standard of our teaching and the standard of our practice of love and respect for women always match. They don't. They don't. And we ministers have much to answer for. I was in a minister's fellowship once. I wouldn't dare tell you where it was, but there was a range of denominations. And one gentleman who saw himself as a kind of supremo minister said to a Catholic priest who was there, "We know that you are wrong, but we love you anyway." What a heap of rot. Most of us were utterly disgusted. And it was that Catholic priest who invited me to share the Mass with him at the funeral of a lady's husband who was Catholic, and she was a member of my congregation. And he said to the congregation, "Many of you here belong to the Uniting Church. This Mass is for you as much as it is for anybody else. Please come." And I wanted to weep. You know that there's not only an unprecedented rise in women who are beaten, but there's an unprecedented rise in the number of women beggars. Homeless women, women living in cars with their kids. Afghanistan is a horror story beyond imagining, of women maimed, assaulted, raped, abducted, forced to marry, arrested, whipped and murdered by the Taliban. And I've seen what those whippings can do. When a man on Christmas Island told me that he'd been whipped because he'd become a Christian. Do you remember that fine corrugated iron they used to use for ceilings? That's what his back looked like. And women seem to get hit harder for some reason. More than 300 women have been killed by men under the Taliban to August 24. And a great number of children, no real statistics. And I suspect the statistics we have on women is way off truth. I'm certain of that. In Ephesians, Paul says, "Of this gospel I've become a servant." And the word servant that is used so much in the New Testament is the Greek word doulos. Not just slave, bond slave. A slave who is bonded to his or her master, who has the power of life and death over them. I give myself to this gospel, even though it costs me my life. And I do this under God's grace. The grace that brings us into oneness with the Gentiles is the grace that calls us into oneness and generosity with all people. Don't we love to demonize difference? Now, I told you early in the piece, some of you football fans will remember, I am unbiased about football teams, except those from Victoria and Port Adelaide. Let's look at the women in Jesus' life. Mary, his mother. The hurdles that they faced. The women who sat at Jesus' feet. The women he welcomed. The woman caught in adultery. She did it all on her own. There was no man involved. So she was going to be stoned. How ludicrous can you be? So Jesus picked up a stone and said, well, if you're going to stone her, which one of you is the one without sin? You go first. Come on, you go first. Mary and Martha, the women at the cross, the women in the tomb. And Paul goes on to say in Galatians, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, we're all one in Christ Jesus. That oneness is still an almighty project for us as Christians and for the whole of society. And if we keep our wits about us, we will see the need for that smattered through our lives and our days. So we're called to love generously, include unconditionally. It's great in theory, but boy, it's tough in practice. Let us advocate for love, for dignity and humanity at the boundaries and the barriers of life. Let us pray.
And that made all the difference. Not just because your question of existential suffering and the inability of people to hear that is valid, but to your point, Walid.
Lord, we have so much more to learn.
It gave us a shelter and a place to
so much more to do.
That existed outside those doors, and you can live.
We make so many mistakes.
When you can live together with the door closed.
Forgive us for our platitudes and challenge us to be truthful. Forgive us for the casual way we brush off serious damage to the lives of others, especially women. And teach us a level of love and compassion that we never ever thought possible. Almighty God, hear these our prayers, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dennis. I'd somehow managed to turn my microphone off. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
Please include, where is he? Leon. Leon has surgery on Tuesday. So we pray for you, Leon, and pray that this will be a successful experience for you. We pray for your healing. Gracious and loving God, bless our brother. Bless him with healing, strength, and power. May we love him completely as we have been called to love all people completely. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.